الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد, in our previous class, we're reading in the last portion of this work with regards to the manners and etiquettes of drinking. We have seen that the author in the chapter in the book Kitab Adab al-Ta'am, he began with many chapters related to the manners and etiquettes of eating, and then he specified the last portion of this particular book with the manners and etiquettes related to drinking. The author, he mentioned in the chapter title that we began reading in our previous class, Babu Adab al-Shurbi, the chapter with regards to the manners of drinking. واستحباب تنفس ثلاث خارج الإناء, and the recommendation of breathing three times outside of the vessel, and he taking the drink in three portions, and breathing outside of the vessel. وكراهتي التنفس في الإناء, and the fact that it's disliked for a person to breathe in the vessel. واستحباب إدارة الإناء على الأيمن فالأيمن بعد المبتدئ, and that it's recommended to pass the vessel from the right to the right, so on and so forth, after the one who began. So with regards to the first aspects of this tarjama, we have discussed them. As for the last portion here, with regards to passing the vessel to the right after the one who begins, then this is what the last two narrations here are related to, and we continue reading from where we left off. In the author, he says, وَعَنْ أَنَسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أُوتِيَ بِلَبَنٍ قَدْ شِيبَ بِمَاءٍ. He mentioned, rahimahullah, the narration of Anas رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, the messenger of Allah صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, he was brought some milk, قَدْ شِيبَ بِمَاءٍ, that had been mixed with water, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utiya bi labanin qad shiba bima, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was brought some milk that had been mixed with water. Wa an yaminihi arabiyun, and on his right is a Bedouin, and he a desert Arab. Wa an yasarihi Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu, and on his left sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. Fa shariba صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم أعطى العربي ثم أعطى الأعرابية وقال الأيمن فالأيمن. متفق عليه. قول, the author, he says, قوله شيبة أي خريطة, أي خريطة. And then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he took a drink, and then he gave the Bedouin Arab the vessel, and he mentioned صلى الله عليه وسلم الأيمن فالأيمن, الأيمن فالأيمن, the one on the right, and then the next after him to the right. The author, he says, متفقون عليه, and the statement of Anas رضي الله عنه شيبة أي خريطة, meaning that the leban or the milk was mixed with water. The milk was mixed with water. So we see here the evidence for that which the author he's referring to, rahimahullah ta'ala, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the one to begin drinking. And then after he drank, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed the drink, the vessel, he passed the vessel to the right, mentioning this affair. Even in some wordings, it's mentioned that Umar was there likewise. And he said, give it, a'ti Abu Bakr ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, give it to Abu Bakr, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the circumstance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was brought some milk that was mixed with water. And then he took a drink, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and on his right side is a desert Arab, and on his left side is Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu. And likewise, in amongst a number of other companions from them, Umar. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is seeing this, Omar, he said, give it to Abu Bakr, O Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed it to his right, to the desert Arab. And then he said, al-ayman fal-ayman, al-ayman fal-ayman, from the right, you pass to the right, and then to the right. You pass to the right, and then to the right. So after the one who begins, then he will pass to his right. Then he will pass to his right, and the vessel will continue in this manner. And the vessel will continue in this manner. After this, the author, he says, وَعَنْ سَهْلِ بِنِ سَعْدٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. He mentioned the narration of Sahl ibn Sa'd رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمَ, that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم أُتِيَ بِشَرَابٍ فَشَرِبَ مِنْهُ وَعَنْ يَمِينِهِ غُلَامٍ وَعَنْ يَسَارِهِ أَشْيَاخٍ. And the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was brought with drink. And he again in another circumstance, فَشَرِبَ مِنْهُ, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he drank from it. وَعَنْ يَمِينِهِ غُلَامٌ, and on his right is a young boy. Is a young boy. And he, this time on the right is a young boy. In the previous narration of Anas, on the right was a desert Arab. This time is a ghulam. This time is a ghulam. Yani a young child before the age of puberty. A young boy before the age of puberty. وَعَنْ يَسَارِهِ أَشْيَاخٍ, and on his left, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are elders. And a number of elders. Again, Allah knows best from them, Abu Bakr and Umar, and a number of the noble companions, radiyallahu anhum. فَقَالَ لِلْغُلَامِ, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to the young boy, أَتَأَذَنُ لِي أَنْ أُعْطِيَ هَؤُلَاء, do you give me permission that I will give to them, and he meaning first, because again, the one on the right, he has the right, and given to the right, it takes precedence in this situation after the one who began drinking first. It's the right that the drink should be passed to the right. But on the right now is a young boy before the age of puberty. It's mentioning the author, he's clarifying that in some wordings it has come that this is Ibn Abbas and radiyallahu anhuma. And on his left are elders, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked the young boy, do you allow me to skip your right and to pass it to the elders before you? أَتَأْذَنُ لِي أَنْ أُعْطِيَ هَؤُلَاء, do you give me permission to give it to them? And he meaning before you, passing up your right. فَقَالَ الْغُلَامِ, the little boy, the young boy, he said, لَا وَاللَّهِ, لَا وَاللَّهِ, no, I swear by Allah, لَا أُثِيرُ بِنَصِيبِ مِنْكَ أَحَدٍ, I will not show preference to anyone for my share from you, my portion from you. فَتَلَّهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ فِي يَدِهِ مُتَّفِقٌ عَلَيْهِ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he placed it in his hand. He placed it in the young boy's hand. Muttafiqun alayhi. The author says, قَوْلُهُ تَلَّهُ أَيْ وَضَعَهُ وَهَذَا الْغُلَامُ هُوَ بْنُ عَبَاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. تَلَّهُ, meaning that he placed it. He placed it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this young boy, he is Ibn Abbasin رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, Ibn Abbasin radiyallahu anhuma. So in these narrations here, there are a number of benefits. The first one, al-bada'atu bi al-kabir, thumma al-ayman fil-ayman, fi al-sharabi wa nahwihi, fi al-sharabi wa nahwihi. That one, he will begin with the elder, and then pass it to his right, and then to the right in this manner, whenever one begins drinking, and likewise with other dishes as well. So whenever a person he's hosting, the one who has the right first is the elder. And then it will go to the right of the elder. And then it will go to the right of the elder. This is what the author he's referring to here. Istihbabu idarati al-ina'i ala al-aymani fal-aymani ba'da al-mubtadi. After the one who begins. So we've seen in a number of narrations in our previous classes that the elder he takes precedence. Precedence. So the one who is the eldest or has the highest rank amongst the gathering, then the one serving will begin with him. Unless somebody else had requested for the drink specifically and it was brought for him, then he will take a drink and he beginning the drink and he will pass it to the right. He will pass it to the right. Likewise, the people of Nahr, as I mentioned, the same circumstance or situation, the same issue, whenever a person is serving. Whenever he's serving, he will serve the elder, and then he will serve the one to the right of the elder. He'll move to the right of the one being served, because the one who has the right is the one on the right of the one who began, who began. And so if one begins with the elder, then after that he will serve the one on the left. So sometimes a person, he will be handed a drink, and he will take a drink and pass it himself. Other times individuals, they will serve in small cups individually. So the one who serves, he will serve first the elder in the gathering and the likes, and then after that he will move to the right of the elder and move around in this manner. And giving one each one their right from the drink. Likewise, if there are other items as well, like cookies or dates, so on and so forth, that are given out individually as well, it will begin in the same manner as the drink here, and Allah knows best. So from the benefits, likewise, number two, imtitharun Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam li adab al-sharia. We see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complying to the manners of the legislation. Wa adam al-muhabat fi shay'in min dhalika, and not showing any favoritism whatsoever. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in both narrations, and one time there is a desert Arab, and another time there is a young boy before the age of puberty. And then one circumstance on the left is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his closest and most beloved friend. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the other narration, there are a number of elders in the gathering. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not show favoritism, and he did not violate the rights of the legislation, nor the rights that have been given to the people by the legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, he fulfilled that. Al-Ayman. فَقَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ الْأَيْمَنُ فَالْأَيْمَنُ. Any of the one on the right, he takes precedence, and then he passes it to the right. Also from the benefits of these narrations, number three, التَنَافُسُ فِي أُمُورِ الْآخِرَةِ. And he's showing مَشْرُعِيَةُ التَنَافُسِ فِي أُمُورِ الْآخِرَةِ. The legislation of competing with one another in the affairs of the hereafter. Competing with one another in the affairs of the hereafter. Here Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he was given the opportunity, was given the option, and his permission was sought to go ahead and pass up his right in the circumstance. And he did not allow that, and he did not prefer that, he did not want that. Rather, he wanted his fair share of this, his portion of this drink. And this is because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he is hoping to put his lips on the place of the vessel where the messenger put his lips, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jalla that is placed in the body and in the saliva and in the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that's specific. من خصائص النبي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam أن ذاته مباركة يتبرك بذاته وبعرقه وبمخاطه sallallahu alayhi wa sallam وبجسده وشعره sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is blessed, his body is blessed, and his saliva is blessed, and his sweat is blessed, and his skin and his hair is blessed, and it brings about blessing for others likewise. It brings about blessing for others likewise by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he's aware of this. So he's hoping to put his lips on the place exactly where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his noble lips, seeking the blessing of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is in the saliva of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something that was known, that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was blessed, and his body was blessed, and the people, they would find blessing from that which come from his body, from the leftover wudu, and from the water that's left over from his ablution sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise from his sweat or from his hair. It's been mentioned that Umm Salama, she had some strands of his hair sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after his death, and she used to put him in water and give him to sick to drink, and they would become well and cured by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is something that is specific to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A discussion will come in the next chapters, inshaAllah, about this affair specifically, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. This is the meaning of the statement of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, Wallahi la uthiru nasibi minka ahadan. I swear by Allah, I will not show preference to anyone over my own self, any with my share from you. Any meaning of the blessing and this opportunity that I have to take the drink after you directly, and to put my lips on the vessel where you put your lips, and to drink after you in that manner. So here we see that there's a great tanafus, that he is striving hard and competing and hoping for the high status and lofty rank and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not preferring anyone over this. And from here, a number of the people of knowledge, they mention a principle. They say, La ithara fi umur al-akhirah. La ithara fi umur al-akhirah. That there is no ithar, showing preference to others in the affairs of the hereafter. And fi al-ibadah wa ta'a wa al-qurubat. And la ithara fi al-qurubat. That there is no showing preference in actions of worship and drawing near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so with regards to worldly affairs and a person's personal right and the likes like this, or his personal comfort, he will show preference to his brothers, and he will show preference to others in general with regards to food and with regards to drink and comfort in the home, or so on and so forth in the gathering and the likes like this. This is from the good manners. يُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. From the specific traits of the Ansar radiyallahu anhum, that by the permission of Allah they reached a high and lofty rank. وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And from the means of success, to not be stingy and selfish, rather to have ithar, to show preference for the comfort and the best interest of others, This is something in general in the worldly affairs and a person's personal business. As for with regards to drawing near to Allah, then one, he will strive his utmost and not prefer anyone over his own soul, And this is an example of that. Likewise, some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned as well, for example, in the first row, someone who hastened and he came rightfully to the first row, he will not back away for someone else. Whether he came first, so he should take that right. He's trying to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so therefore he has that right, and this is his opportunity. He should not give it up for anyone. Alhamdulillah, he obtained that virtue lawfully and rightfully. He should seek to have that nearness to Allah, and the great reward for having the first row. If the people knew the virtue of the first row, then they would draw lots. You need to stand there in the first row, and he rightfully. And the one who comes rightfully, and he's waiting his turn, and he sits there peacefully. It's not like the one who comes late and squeezes in, or harms people, pushing himself in, or stepping in front of others and making a way in the end, and the likes like this. No doubt, if one makes it to the first row, inshallah, he has a reward. But we should not make our worship a means to harm or bother the believers. We should not let our worship be a means to harm or bother the believers. This is not what is intended from hastening or from making tanafus and the likes like this, from competing, so on and so forth. You compete in the limits of the legislation and in that which is good and that which is easy without harming the people. As for those who they're competing, or their diligence to do good deeds carries them to harm the believers, then they have been deceived. Also from the benefits of this narration, number 4, مُرَاعَاتُ أَحْوَالِ النَّاسِ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزِّ وَجَلِ وَالتَّعْلِيمِ وَالتَّرْبِيَةِ. That one, he must observe the circumstances of the people in calling to Allah and teaching and cultivating. Where is this benefit derived from? Everybody with me? مُرَاعَاتُ أَحْوَالِ النَّاسِ فِي الدَّعْوَةِ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالتَّعْلِيمِ وَالتَّرْبِيَةِ. Observing the condition or the circumstances of the people whenever calling to Allah and teaching and educating. You have to look at the circumstances of the people. And this is a principle established in a number of evidences. But we want to discuss how it's established here, the aspect of proof here. And if, for example, in the hadith of Mu'adh, لَمَّا أَرْسَلَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِلَى الْيَمَنِ قال إنك تأتي قوما من أهل الكتاب فليكن أول ما تدعوهم إليه إلى أن يوحد الله الحديث أو شهادة أن لا إله إلا الله الحديث إلى عبادة الله. يعني the different wordings, but the point is here that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم informed Mu'adh that you're coming to a people from the people of the book. You're not going to mushrikun, you're not going to pagans, you're going to people of knowledge, people who believe in prophets and messengers, and they believe in the fundamental of a tawheed, but they have distorted the revelation and the legislation, and they're misguided. But they're people of knowledge, so you have to deal with them properly. This is the indication of having knowledge of the people that one is calling. So you don't call all of the people the same. The elders and the youth, you address them differently, each one according to his status in society. The father, you call him differently than the one you call your brother. Then the way you call your brother, if you're calling to him to Islam, or ordering the good or forbidding the evil and the likes like this, or giving advice or admonishment and direction. Each one has a right that must be observed and a proper manner of handling the issue. يعني معرفة أحوال المدعوين, to have knowledge of the circumstances of those whom you are calling or teaching or admonishing or advising. This is found here in these two narrations. Yeah? The two narrations. What are the narrations? The first one, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's brought with some drink. He's brought with some leaven. قَدْ شِيبَ بِي مَا خُلِطَ بِي مَا. And he's brought with some milk that's mixed with water. Mixed with water. And then he takes a drink. And on his right is a dozen Arab. On his left is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And then even after that, some of the companions, Umar and the likes, give it to Abu Bakr. And even some narrations, some wordings, he's telling the Arab, the desert Arab, give it. You should give it to Abu Bakr. Give it to him. You know, he's got the high and lofty status. He's the most virtuous amongst us. He's the Kabir after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Prophet, he gave it to the one on the right, the desert Arab, who we don't even know his name and who he is. Yani he's not well known from the companions and the likes like this. And then he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fir ayman, at ayman, fir ayman. And then likewise in the other narration, the narration of Sa'd ibn As-Sahl ibn Sa'd Sa'di radiyallahu anhu, there on the right this time is Ibn Abbas, a young boy before the age of puberty, but it's not any young boy, it's Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma. And on the left there are a number of the elders from the companions radiyallahu anhum, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he sought permission from the young boy. He sought permission from the young boy. So from here, a number of the people of knowledge, they have derived this benefit that we're discussing. What is the benefit? We finished that one. The benefit now, we finished those. We're on the fourth benefit, right? Mura'at ahwal an-nas fi da'wa ila Allah. You observe the circumstances of the people when calling to Allah. You don't call each individual in the same manner. Or when you're teaching, or when you're dealing with the people, the way that you move. Some people, you treat them differently for reason and wisdom. So maybe we'll make the question in another order. لماذا استأذن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الغلام ولم يستأذن الأعرابي ولم يستأذن الأعرابي. Why did the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم seek permission from the young boy, but he didn't seek permission from the desert Arab? The answer is the benefit here. Because, again, you get the question. You see in the first narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's seen the desert Arab on his right side. He didn't ask him any question. He just gave him the drink. And he said, it goes to the right. The one on the right, he has the first right, and then from him to the right. And then from him to the, even if Abu Bakr is on the left, radiallahu anhu. But then whenever it came to the young boy who was Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu, he asked him. He said, is it okay if I give it to them? And will you allow me to give it to them? Will you go ahead and pass your right? And let me pass it to them. And he did not agree with that. And he did not allow that. He did not give up his right. But the point is that the desert Arab, he's coming from out of town. And he is not familiar with the people and the circumstance and the situation. He's not familiar with the manners of the legislation. So if he were to be asked or permission was sought from him, he may take it wrong. He may misunderstand. He may think that they're showing preference to him, or that there's tribalism going on, or that they don't like him and the likes like this. All of these type of ideas come to people who don't understand some of the realities and details of these affairs. So in order for this not to happen, to avoid this problem of him having bad thoughts or having bad feelings or misunderstanding the situation, he didn't ask him for his permission. Rather, he gave him his right. He gave him his right, بدون استئذان. He gave him his right without asking permission. Because if he asks permission, maybe he'll be shy and he'll give it to him, but then maybe he doesn't know why, or he doesn't know who Abu Bakr is, radiallahu anhu, doesn't know his status or his rank or his nearness to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so on and so forth. So maybe he will have some of these bad thoughts and the devil will play with him and it will not be a good outcome and he will leave and have bad feelings with regards to the circumstances that he was involved in with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his noble companions. Radiallahu anhu. You understand? As for the young boy, then probably a number of these ashyakh, these elders, they're from his relatives. They're all from his relatives. And plus, the young boy as well, he knows the status of each one of them. And also, he's very well versed in the etiquettes and manners and the laws of the legislation. So now, even though he's a young boy, he's a person of knowledge and is a person of understanding. If he's asked, he understands the reality. He understands the situation. It's not going to harm his feelings and the likes like this. Whether he's going to make a decision. He's going to make a decision. So he made his decision. So he made his decision, radiallahu anhu. So this is the case. And sometimes, maybe whenever we're dealing with some people, for example, the imam, maybe he's talking to somebody. Maybe he's talking to somebody right out there in the other room. And he's a new Muslim. Or he's a Muslim who's struggling. Or he's in a similar situation like the desert Arab. And he's not strong in his faith. And he's not grounded in his knowledge. And he's struggling in the deen. So then somebody comes by who's very close to the imam. Very close to the imam. And he knows, the imam knows that person. And knows that person is inshallah, what is apparent, is strong upon the deen. And strong in his faith. And has a good understanding of the religion. So maybe in this circumstance, he will play that person off a little bit. And not give him attention. And he just smile at him and give salam. And give more concern for the person who's in front of him at that time. Because he knows that this person here is going to understand and he's good and he can wait and there will not be any problem. As for the one who has weak faith, if he's turned away from and he's left in the corner or he's delayed and the likes like this, then maybe it will cause bad feelings to come into his heart, or maybe he will even leave and turn away. These are just examples of this affair. So the point is that people, you have to deal with them differently. So someone who's weakened their faith, or somebody's having doubts and the likes like this, then you treat them differently than someone who you know very well and who's close to you and you think nothing but good about them and that they're strong and firm upon the religion. So even there's other examples of this, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave al-mu'allafa qulubuhum. He gave al-mu'allafa qulubuhum, yani ata'an aziman. He gave them a whole many sheep, those whom the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave them a great portion of the zakat in order to bring them and call them to Islam, or to make their hearts firm and to make their faith strong. And by way of giving them and being kind to them, while he left those who were fighting along with him from the Ansar, radiallahu anhum, and the other companions with less. And they asked about that, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entrusted them to their faith and their belief and their deen and their creed and at-tawheed and the meeting of Allah azza wa jal. And he dealt with them because of in that manner, because of the weakness of their faith and they're new to al-Islam, and he's trying to help strengthen the bond between him and between them. So this in reality is a great benefit. You deal with the people accordingly. Some who are well knowledgeable of the religion, you deal with them accordingly. Some who are ignorant of the religion, you deal with them accordingly. Some who are non-Muslims, but they're Christians, you deal with them accordingly. Some who are pagans and the likes like this, you deal with them accordingly. People who are businessmen, then you call them in a particular way. And those who are from the street, so on and so forth, here in America, then you might have to talk to them differently. Or even sometimes, whenever you find people to call them, maybe you don't call them, but you will find someone who can relate to that individual. Brother so-and-so is good to talk to this person. So you send him, just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent Mu'adh to Yemen, because he was from Al-Yemen, radiallahu anhu. He's from those people. So he sent someone from the same people to go to them. Likewise, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu. So again, this is observing the circumstances of the situations of the people hoping for a good outcome. And not to bring about problems, and observing the hearts and the likes likewise. So after this, the author, he says, بَابُ كَرَاهَةِ الشُّرْبِ مِنْ فَمِ الْقِرْبَةِ وَنَحْوِهَا وَبَيَانْ أَنَّهُ كَرَاهَةُ تَنْزِيهٍ لَا حَرَامٍ. This is what it says in the print that I'm reading here from the checking of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. But there's some other prints that instead of saying haram, it says تحريم. And Allah knows best, this is more correct linguistically. وَبَيَانُ أَنُهُ كَرَاهَةُ تَنْزِيهٍ لَا تَحْرِيمٍ بَيَانُ كَرَاهَةِ الشُّرْبِ مِنْ فَمِ الْقِرْبَةِ وَنَحْوِهَا ونحوها وبيان أنه كراهة تنزيه لا تحريم. The chapter with regards to the fact that it's disliked to drink from the mouth of the water skin and the likes of them, and the likes of the water skin, and the clarification that it's something that is disliked and it's not forbidden. It's disliked and it's not forbidden. And the word karaha sometimes is used to refer to something that's forbidden ultimately, and other times it's used to refer to something that is it is disliked and discouraged. Disliked and discouraged. So there's karahatu tahrim and karahatu atanzih. So the issue here of drinking from the mouth of the water skin is prohibited, but that's from the aspect of being disliked or discouraged. If he were to do it, he's not falling into sin. He's not falling into sin. So the author, he says, عن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه أنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن اختناث الأسقية يعني أن تكسر أفواهها ويشرب منها متفق عليه متفق عليه. So the author, he mentioned the narration of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade naha an ikhtinaf al-asqiyya. Ikhtinaf al-asqiyya. And then it's mentioned the meaning of that, ya'ni an tuksara afwahuha wa yushraba minha. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade ikhtinaf al-asqiyya. Al-asqiyya, yani the vessels. Al-asqiyya, yani the vessels. Here the Shaykh Al-Albani rahimahullah, he has a footnote. He says, Al-asqiyya, jamu siqa' wa maradu al-mutakhath min al-jild wa ikhtinathuha min al-khanath wa huwa al-intiwa' wa al-intina' wa antuksar ay antuthna. Yani meaning that the interpretation of this narration, ikhtinath, yani this means to bend, to turn back the mouth of the water skin. The mouth of the water skin. Whenever it says tuksar, doesn't mean that it's broken, meaning that it's bent. Meaning that it's bent or folded back. So the water skin, it has a mouth. And the mouth can be folded back. So to fold it back, to turn it inside out like this, to fold it back, that's what it's being referred to. Whenever there's the water skin, the end of it where the mouth is, whenever you fold the lip back, now the inside becomes on the outside. You see that? When you fold it back like this, the lip of it, the inside of the water skin becomes on the outside. This is what is being referred to here. Ibn Hajar, he mentioned in Al-Fath, he says, المراد بكسرها ثنيها لا كسرها حقيقة ولا إبانتها. That what is intended from breaking the water skin, breaking the mouth of the water skin, and the word كسر is being used, which means to break. But what is it being referred to here is bending it, and he's folding it back. Folding it back, not breaking it in reality and not separating it from the actual water skin. From the actual water skin. Rather, to fold it back and then to drink from it in that manner. So the one who does this, he will put his lips on the actual inside of the water skin. Because he's taking the mouth of it and he's folding it back. And then he's going to put his lips and drink from that. And that's the inside of the water skin. That's the inside of the water skin. This issue here has been clarified in a number of other wordings in Sahih Muslim. Yani the narrators have mentioned the interpretation of al-khinath. وَخِنَاثُهَا أَنْ يُقْلَبَ رَأْسُهَا حَتَّى يُشْرَبَ مِنْهُ. Yani what does it mean, al-khinath? اختناث الأسقية. Yani that the head of it will be folded back. Will be folded back and it will be drank from. It will be drank from. And another wording, and yushraba min afwahiha. And the intent from that is that one would drink from the mouths of the water skins. The mouth of the water skins. So the qirba is a water skin. Many times they're large. They would use them as containers to hold the water. And they would hang them. They would use them as containers to hold the water. And they would hang them. And in the author, he mentioned after that the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. When Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, annahu qal, نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أن يشرب من في السقاء أو القربة متفق عليه. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he forbade drinking from the mouth of the vessels or from the water skins. متفق عليه. So these narrations they come together. So there's a prohibition with regards to drinking from the mouths of these large water skins. of these large water skins. So how would they fill them up? They would go to the rivers or to the wells and the likes like this, and they would fill them. And they would fill them. So could you could imagine what might be in them. You go and you fill them up, right? In the river or in the ghadir, yani in the basin, a water basin, or in a well and the likes like this. So many times that which comes along with the water, maybe some dirt, or maybe sticks or leaves, or maybe insects or other animals and the likes like this, might come along in the water skin whenever they're collecting the water. Maybe they're not aware or paying attention to other things that are going in the water skin. So this water here is not clean and pure. It's not clean and pure. So they will use that as a container and holder, and they will pour from there. It has been reported authentically from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu, mentioning the reason for the prohibition. And there are a number of benefits from this narration, and this is the first one. Min asbabi anahi, from the reasons or the wisdom of the prohibition of drinking from the mouths of these water skins. It's been narrated from Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu. He says, Shariba rajulun min siqa fansaba fi batnihi jan fanaha an ikhtinathi al-asqiyah. That a man, he drank from the water skin, and a snake slivered into his mouth, into his stomach. A snake went down his stomach. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he prohibited from drinking from the mouths of these vessels, from these mouths of these larger vessels in water skins. This is connected by Ibn Abi Shaybah and his Musannif with a chain that is authentic, been authenticated by Shaykh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopia rahimahullah, and likewise by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah and others from them. Indeed, the narration is authentic. فَانْسَابَ فِي بَطْنِهِ جَانٌ. Jan, the people of knowledge mention al-jan, yani hayyatun akhal al-ayn. Hayyatun akhal al-ayn. It's a snake with the black eyes, black around his eyes. And a snake was in the water skin. He opened the mouth of that and began to drink, and it went in his mouth. And so this is the wisdom from the prohibition. Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, in our second benefit, he mentions here as well the same issue. Al-hikmatu min al-nahi an al-miyah fi ma sabqa laysa tilka al-miyah al-nadhifa. The wisdom from the prohibition is that the water before, in the earlier days, it's not from the water that was very clean and pure. So the benefit that we're reading from the statement of Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he said that the wisdom from the prohibition is that the water before, it was not the pure and clean water. فَإِذَا صَارَتْ فِي الْقِرْبَةِ أَوْ فِي السِّقَاءِ فَإِنَّهُ قَدْ يَكُونُ فِيهَا أَشْيَاءَ مُؤْذِيَةَ كَعِدَانٍ أَوْ حَشَرَاتٍ أَوْ غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. And so whenever they get it into the large vessel or into the water skin and the likes like this, there might be something harmful in there. And there might be sticks or twigs, or there might be insects or other things like that are harmful. A person, if he just drinks straight from the mouth like this, especially if it's hanging, for example, it's going to go right down his throat, or at bare minimum, it's going to go in his mouth, and it might harm him. So there is a prohibition for this reason. Likewise, we have a question here, the third benefit. هَلْ مِثْلُهُ أَشْيُرْبْ مِنَ الصُّنْبُورِ أَوْ الْجِرَارِ أَوْ الْعِلَبِ أَلَتِي عِنْدَنَا الْيَوْمِ. Is the prohibition similar? And it's the same understanding here, that it's forbidden to drink from the mouth of these water skins or these large containers. Is it similar to drinking straight from the faucet or from the big jug or the big bottles and the likes like this that we have today? Somebody has a jug, a gallon, for example. Can he drink from the jug? Or is this considered also from the prohibition? Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimahullah, he answered this question. He says, وَلَيْسَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَشْشُرْبُ مِنَ الصُّنْبُورِ أَوْ مِنَ الْجِرَارِ أَلَتِي يُخْزَنُ فِيهَا الْمَاءِ لِأَنَّ هَذِهِ نَظِيفَ فَهِيَ كَالشُّرْبِ فِي الْأَوَانِي فَهِيَ كَالشُّرْبِ فِي الْأَوَانِي. And it's not considered from the same aspect drinking from the sunbur, yani from the faucet or from the large jars or jugs that the liquids are preserved or kept in. Because these here, they're clean. And drinking from them is like drinking from the vessels. Drinking from them is like drinking from the vessels. So he's mentioning here that the wisdom is because of the possibility of something being harmful, and especially in those days. Some of the people of knowledge, they mention another reason, and that maybe it will, if the saliva and the likes gets on the drink, maybe it would cause the drink to become dirty, or cause the vessel to have a bad smell, so on and so forth. All of this has been mentioned. After this, the author, he says, وَعَنْ أُمِّ ثَابِتٍ كَبْشَةَ بِنْتِ ثَابِتٍ أُخْتِ حَسَّانٍ Ibn Thabit radiallahu anhuma annaha qalat, he mentioned the narration of Thabit, Kabsha bint Thabit. She's the sister of Hassan ibn Thabit. Hassan ibn Thabit, yani the poet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the narration of his sister Thabit, Kabsha bint Thabit, that she says, dakhala alayya rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fa shariba min fi qirbatin mu'allaqah qa'iman. She says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came in my home and he drank from the mouth of a water skin that is hanging while he's standing. فَقُمْتُ إِلَى فِيهَا فَقَطَعْتُهُ رَوَاهُ تِرْمِذِي وَقَالَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. And so she said, after that, I went to the water skin and I went to the mouth of it and I cut it off. And I cut it off, I need to keep it. It's narrated by Tirmidhi, and he said the narration is حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ, and it's good and reliable. The author, he says, وَإِنَّمَا قَطَعَتْهَا لِتَحْفَظَ مَوْضِئَ فَمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمُ وَتَتَبَرَّكُ بِهِ وَتَصُونُهُ عَنِ الْإِبْتِذَالِ. And he says, rahimahullah, that the only reason she cut the portion, the mouth of the water skin from where the Prophet ﷺ drank in order to preserve it, to keep it, and to keep the place where the Messenger of Allah ﷺ placed his noble mouth, and in order to seek blessing likewise from that thing. As we have seen before, that the body of the Prophet ﷺ is blessed, and blessing comes from him, and people receive blessings from the Prophet ﷺ, from his body, from his sweat, so on and so forth, from his hair, by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, not by the permission or the favor of the Prophet. Rather, this is something that Allah, he specified the Prophet with ﷺ, that his body was blessed, that his body was blessed, and blessing would come from his noble body in his lifetime, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She intended to save that and protect that from being taken advantage of or being misused. وَهَذَا الْحَدِيثُ مَحْمُولٌ عَلَى بَيَانِ الْجَوَازِ وَالْحَدِيثَانِ السَّابِقَانِ لِبَيَانِ الْأَفْضَلِ وَالْأَكْمَلِ وَاللَّهُ عَالَمُ. So the author, he clarifies now in his commentary, rahimahullah, he says this narration is understood to clarify that it's permissible. It's understood in the light of clarifying that it's permissible. That it's permissible. And the other two narrations, they clarify that which is most virtuous and more complete or more better. And Allah knows best. Meaning, again, what the author, he mentioned in the chapter title. What the author, he mentioned in the chapter title, that it's forbidden to drink from the mouth of these large vessels and the likes like this and these water skins, but the prohibition is disliked. And this is clarified from the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he forbade that, and then he performed that, to clarify that the prohibition is not an ultimate prohibition, but rather something that is disliked or discouraged. And it's known in the legislation that things that are disliked are discouraged in times of difficulty or need, they become permissible or are considered lawful without any blame. So if there's a need, for example, to drink from the water skin like here because it's hanging and maybe the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in need of a drink, then he drank from it and it's lawful. So here it's clarifying these issues that are mentioned in the chapter title. So with regards to the blessing, seeking blessing from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is something that is established. But some people, they have a misunderstanding and they compare or make an analogy to others besides the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him in this regards, and they seek blessing from the righteous, from the Muslims. And you will find one of them, if there's an individual that they believe to be righteous, they'll wipe on him and they'll rub on him, and even sometimes they'll do worse than that or more lowly than that, hoping to have blessing from the individual. And this is a foul qiyas, in comparison. Qiyasun ma'al fariq al-wadih. This is clearly not proper or contrary. And in reality, every Muslim has blessing in him. But the blessing of a Muslim is not that's in his essence. It's not muta'addiya. The barakah laysat muta'addiya. People are not able to obtain that any from his essence or from his body or from his sweat, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's collected by al-Bukhari from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, inna min ash-shajari لما بركته كبركة المسلم. That indeed from the trees, there is a tree that its blessing is like the blessing of a Muslim. A blessing of a Muslim. If we can just finish this portion, Shaykh Khalifa. جزاك الله خير. حتى ننتهي يعني. That there is a tree, that the blessing of that tree is that of the blessing of a Muslim. And so any, we know the narration, this is referring to the nakhla, the date tree. The date tree. But the point is that every Muslim has blessing in him. And this is clarified here in this narration. But the blessing of every Muslim that he has in himself is not obtained from others. You're not able to go to your brother and wipe on him and get the blessing that he has, that Allah has bestowed upon him. So every believer has blessing with him. Alhamdulillah. But that blessing is not obtained in that same manner as it was attained from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, that is something specific to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anna barakat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-dhatiya mutaaddiya. That the blessing of his essence, of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of his saliva, of his skin, of his sweat, of his hair, so on and so forth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was specific to him, that blessing would, that others would obtain that blessing by touching him, or by wiping him, wiping on his body, or taking the excess wudu, and the likes like this. This is specific to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalama, and from the greatest evidence and proof of this, the people of knowledge, they mentioned that there is no one in comparison to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How could you compare someone in righteousness and piety and in blessing and goodness and fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla and obedience and humbleness to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? He's the best of mankind. He's the most pious and the most righteous. And he mentioned himself, أنا أخشاكم لله وأتقاكم له. I'm the one who fears Allah the most from you and the most pious of you. So to compare somebody to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in piety and righteousness and sincere devotion and worship and servitude is not proper. No one reaches his level. He is the slave of Allah. Rasulullah wa abdu Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there's no comparison here. This is not proper, first and foremost. Number two, after that, even to compare, we find that after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one from the companions would go to the best of the ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeking blessing from his body and his personal effects. No one went to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and sought blessing from his hair or from his sweat or from his clothing or his garments and the likes like this. And it's known that he's the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was not established and this was not done. And likewise after him, Umar, so on and so forth, this was not established. Nor did any of the tabi'un go after that to any of their teachers doing the same thing. This is something that is not established. The companions, they did not do that one to another. And the tabi'un, they did not do that with the sahaba. None of them went and sought blessing from the physical presence or effects of anyone from the people after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is not proper, and it's a means that leads to great misguidance and deviation and shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.